Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Adecco Agro's 2Q14 results conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Mariano Bosch, CEO, Mr. Charlie Barrera Hughes, CFO, and Mr. Hernan Walker, Investor Relations Manager. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question-and-answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star, then zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Adecco Agro's management and information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Adecco Agro and cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Mariano Bosch, CEO. Mr. Bosch, you may begin the conference.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our call. The company has shown excellent results for this second quarter in all our business segments. Now, let me highlight some of the more relevant achievements during the quarter before I pass the word to Charlie. We are in the middle of the crushing season in the sugar, ethanol, and energy business. The business has shown a very good performance when compared to the same period of last year. Despite having the same nominal crushing capacity, we have crushed 20% more cane than last year. This is a clear sign that the efficiency enhancements and improvements generating in our cluster Mato Grosso tool are paying off. In terms of energy, we have already exported over 120,000 megawatt hours, 40% more than last year, and sold at very attractive price. All these improvements are a direct consequence of the successful development of our operational team, which is, without a doubt, one of our primary focuses. Regarding the expansion project in Ibinema Mill, which will add 3 million tons of nominal crushing capacity and consolidate our 10 million ton class in Mato Grosso do Sul, construction is on time and on budget. As regards to our sugarcane plantation, our planting pace has doubled compared to the last 3 years. We've already planted over 19,000 hectares this year and expect to continue planting at this pace, which will allow us to crush at almost full capacity by 2015. In our farming and land transformation business, we are closing the 2013-14 season with much better results compared to last year. This is explained by higher operational efficiencies in our segment coupled with improved yields, which have returned to their historical average. We are now fully focused on the new 2014-15 campaign, working on enhancing the performance in our operations and negotiating prices with contractors and agricultural input suppliers. Today, more than ever, it is highly important to be the lowest cost producer. Regarding our land transformation business, we continue to monetize part of our already transformed farm. During the quarter, we closed a transaction that represented a 28% premium to the Cushman and Wakefield independent operation. This sale reflects the execution of our strategy of monetizing our fully developed land portfolio to reallocate our capital efficiency and generate attractive returns on the invested capital for our shareholders. I believe that our businesses are set on a good path. We are placing a lot of focus on continuing to improve efficiencies in each one of our value chains, allowing us to become the lowest cost producers in each one of our commodities. Now, I would like to ask Charlie to walk you through the main operational and financial highlights of the quarter. Charlie, please, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to walk you through a few slides that reflect the main operational and financial highlights of the quarter. On page 3, I would like to start by explaining an important change regarding our adjusted EBITDA metric. Under IFRS accounting, the sale of an uncontrolling interest in a subsidiary is accounted for as an equity transaction, with no gain or loss recognized in the consolidated statement of income. Differences between the selling price and the good value are recognized in shareholders' equity. This type of transaction are not being contemplated when the company originally defined its adjusted EBITDA in 2010. Management believes that the sale of a controlling or non-controlling interest in a subsidiary whose main underlying asset is permanent is a key element in its land transformation business, and in either case, it allows the company to monetize the capital gain generated by the transformation of underdeveloped or underutilized farmland, thereby enhancing return on invested capital. Accordingly, we have decided to include the gains and losses from the sales of non-controlling interest in subsidiaries in our adjusted EBITDA definition. I would now like to move on to the farming business. Please direct your attention to slide 5, where we compare the rainfalls of the current harvest season with those of the previous harvest. The data shows the monthly rainfall evolution for our farms in the Pampas region. The orange bars represent rains during the 2012 and 13 crop, and the green bars represent the 2013 and 14 crop, which has been recently harvested. In section 1 of the graph, you can observe that the main productive regions of Argentina suffered lack of rain together with high temperatures from December 2013 to mid-January 2014. Accordingly, some of our crops, such as sunflower and early corn, which were in their critical flowering or growth stage, were slightly affected. Nevertheless, in section 2, you can see that since mid-January 2014 to the end of March, rains normalized and returned to their historical levels. This allowed our crops to develop normally and generate an increase in yield and margins compared to the previous crop. Section 3, however, shows that higher than average rains between April and June slowed down the harvest pace of some of our crops. As a result, as of June, 89% of our planted area has been successfully harvested. The remaining 11%, or 23,000 hectares, will be concluded during the third quarter of 2014. We will now turn to slide 6 of the presentation, where I would like to take a closer look into the harvested area and yields for some of our most important crops. If you direct your attention to the top left corner of the page, you can see that as of June the 30th of 2014, the harvest of the soybean first crop was fully completed. Moderate and timely rains from January to April allowed the crop to develop above expectations, with its average yields of 2.9 tons per hectare, marking a 32% increase versus the previous harvest year. This allowed us to produce over 159,000 tons of soybean. Moving on to the right, we may see that the harvest of soybean second crop was 98% completed by the end of June 2014. Average yields reached 1.9 tons per hectare, 50% above the 2012 and 13 harvest year. The increase in yields is a result of a higher proportion of soybean second crop area being planted in the main productive region of Argentina, and climatic conditions in line with historical averages contrasted to last year's drought. In the bottom left corner, you can see that as of the end of the second quarter of 2014, the harvested area for the early and late corn totaled 29,000 hectares, or 64% of the total planted area. Setting rains between the end of March and June 2014 slightly delayed the harvest. The average yields obtained were 6 tons per hectare, marking a 9% increase compared with the previous harvest year. As you may see in the pie chart, seeking to diversify our crop risk and water requirements, approximately 37% early corn was planted in September, and 63% of late corn was planted during the end of November and December of 2013. Early corn was affected by the lack of rainfall and high temperatures during December and early January, which occurred during the critical growth of flowering stage. The midcorn, however, received an adequate amount of rainfall during the January of 2014, which allowed it for normal crop development. The harvest was completed during the third quarter of 2014, which expects corn yields to remain above the previous harvest year. Lastly, in the bottom right graph, you can observe that as of June 30th of 2014, the harvest of over 36,000 hectares of rice was completed. The average yield in our rice farms was 5.6 tons per hectare, slightly below the previous harvest year. Supply of water in dams and rivers was sufficient to flood the rice fields throughout the crop cycle. However, during the mid-February to April, higher than normal amount of cloudy and rainy days complicated harvest operations and had a negative impact on the yields at some of our farms, given that the plant requires sunlight for photosynthesis and plant growth. We expect yields to improve in the upcoming harvest years as we enhance operational efficiencies, develop our agricultural teams, and continue with the transformation process and zero leveling of our rice farms. Zero leveling is an agricultural practice based on GPS and laser technology, resulting in reduced water irrigation requirements and lower costs of labor and energy. Let's turn to slide 7, where I will discuss the financial performance for our farming business. As you may see in the top chart, adjusted EBIT in the second quarter of 2014 increased by 18% to $14.3 million. However, I would like to focus on the year-to-date figures on the bottom chart because they reflect our harvest year results. On a consolidated basis, adjusted EBIT increased from $28.7 million in the first 6 months of 2013 to $48.4 million in the first 6 months of 2014, marking a 69% increase year over year. This increase is explained by higher yields generated by most of our crops as a result of climatic conditions in line with historical averages, compared to last year's drought, a large planted area of owned and leased land together with a lower area of second crop, and lower production costs driven by enhanced operating efficiencies coupled with the devaluation of the Argentine peso. It is important to highlight that more than 75% of our revenues are dollar denominated, while only 40% of our costs are dollar linked. Therefore, the depreciation of the Argentine peso has a positive impact on our margins and our profitability. In the case of the dairy segment, the weak performance year over year is primarily explained by the disposal of La Lazio meat processing facility in the second quarter of 2013, which generated a $2.4 million gain in the dairy segment. I would also like to point out that towards the end of June of 2014, Adecoagro began its planting activities for the 2014-15 harvest year. Between the end of June and early July, Adecoagro successfully planted 31,000 hectares of wheat in adequate conditions. The hectares planted have achieved good humidity, which should allow the plant to develop normally. We could please turn to page 9. I would like to discuss our land transformation business. On June the 17th of 2014, Adecoagro completed the sale of a 49% interest in Global Aneco SLU and Global Isingen SLU to Spanish subsidiaries for a total price of $50.6 million. The main underlying assets of these subsidiaries are La Guarida and the Guadalcanes, two farms located in the Argentine province of Salta and Santiago del Estero, respectively. This transaction generated $25.6 million of adjusted EBITDA in the second quarter of 2014, representing a 28% premium over the Cushman and Wakefield independent appraisal dated September 2013. In the last 9 years, Adecoagro has been able to generate gains of approximately $185 million by strategically selling at least one of its fully mature farms per year, monetizing a portion of its land transformation gains each year, allows Adecoagro to redeploy its capital efficiently and continue expanding its operations by investing in other farms or assets across the agrodistant value chain is attractive risk-adjusted returns, allowing the company to continue growing and enhancing shareholder value. Let's turn to slide 11 and move on to our sugar, ethanol, and energy business. We start by taking a look at the monthly rainfall at our cluster in Mato Grosso do Sul compared to the monthly rainfall in San Pablo. Rains in San Pablo between January to July 2014 were significantly below the 15-year average, resulting in a sugarcane yield reduction between 8-10%. According to market consultants such as Unica and Datagro, the Brazilian Central South region is expected to crush approximately 560 million tons of sugarcane, down from the 600 million tons which were expected before the drought. Our operations in Mato Grosso do Sul were not affected by the drought. In fact, year-to-date rains currently stand 3% above the 15-year historical average. Let's turn to slide 12, where I would like to discuss the sugarcane crushing for the period. I would like to remind you that at Ecoagro Sugar, Ethanol, and Energy Mills began the 2014 sugarcane harvest and milling operations during the beginning of the second quarter of 2014, with the exception of Angelica, which began crushing on March 26, in order to maximize ethanol and energy production and capture the attractive prices at the end of the Intersafra season. By suffering some harvest disruptions at the beginning of the harvest due to the excess rain, the increase in productivity allowed our mills to crush a total of 2.1 million tons of sugarcane in the second quarter of 2014, marking a 21% increase over the previous year. This was possible as a result of the ramp-up and consolidation of our cluster in Mato Grosso do Sul, the expansion of our sugarcane plantation, and favorable weather during June, which allowed us to increase the milling rate. We will now turn to slide 13, where I would like to discuss our planting activities for the present quarter. As you can see in chart on the left, as of June 30th of 2014, our sugarcane plantation reached 111,000 hectares, representing an 18% growth over the second quarter of 2013. Planting and renewing our sugarcane plantation continues to be a key strategy to supply our mills at full capacity and increase the productivity and quality of our plantation. Take a look at the chart on the right. You can see that our sugarcane plantation planting pace has doubled compared to the last 3 years. We already planted over 19,000 hectares this year and expect to continue planting at this pace, which will allow us to apply sufficient cane to the completed cluster in 2016. If you would please turn to page 14, I would like to discuss the further productive indicators related to our sugarcane production. The first graph on the left shows that the adequate amount of rainfall in the Mato Grosso do Sul region between January and May of 2014 allowed for normal crop development, driving sugarcane yields to 79.6 tons per hectare, marking a 6% increase over the second quarter of 2013. The graph in the middle shows that the TRS content increased by 1% to 120.8 kilos per ton. As observed on the graph on the far right, the combination of these two effects resulted in a 7% increase in TRS content per hectare. Please turn to slide 15, where I would like to discuss the total productive volumes for our sugar, ethanol, and energy business. The 21% increase in cane milled together with improvements we saw in our productivity indicators have allowed us to significantly increase the production volume of our sugar, ethanol, and energy. In the quarter, we produced 112,000 tons of sugar, 84,000 cubic meters of ethanol, and 105,000 megawatt-hours of energy. If you take a look at the graph on the screen, you can see that total production of sugar, ethanol, and energy has increased by 41%, 10%, and 31% respectively. I would like to highlight that our mills have a 60 to 40% flexibility to adjust our production between sugar and ethanol in order to take advantage of more favorable market demand and prices at a given point in time. As you can see from the chart in the upper left corner, during the second quarter of 2014, 55% of the sugar content, TRS, was shifted towards ethanol production and 45% towards sugar. The mix favored ethanol, giving the more attractive margins compared to the sugar during the quarter. Let's turn to slide 16 of the presentation, where I would like to discuss our sugar business. To take a look at the graph on the left, we observe that our sugar sales volumes during the second quarter of 2014 totaled 75,000 tons, marking a 2% decrease in the same period of the previous year. The decrease in volumes is the result of two main factors, a production mix favoring ethanol and a significant increase in sugar inventory. In regards to the second point, if we take a look at the chart in the middle of the screen, you can see that sugar inventories increased by 422%. The sugar has already been committed at fixed prices and will be delivered in the upcoming months. As of June the 30th, 2014, we have 159,000 tons of sugar hedged at 18.1 cents per pound of sugar equivalent. The graph on the right shows that the decrease in sales volume, coupled with the fact that sugarcane prices fell from $446 per ton in the second quarter of 2013 to $396 per ton in the second quarter of 2014, resulted in a 13% decrease in total net sales. BHP prices have remained under pressure, decreasing by 12% primarily driven by lower demand and higher global stocks. Nevertheless, consulting groups such as Kingsland and Datagro are projecting a sugar deficit ranging between 2.1 million to 2.5 million tons of sugar for the next season, which would be constructive for price. This situation would be aggravated in the event of an El Niño weather event occurring, as it would reduce sugarcane yields in Southeast Asia and cost a reduction in sugar availability for 2015 and 16 harvest. Accordingly, we should expect net sales to increase in the upcoming quarters as we sell off our inventories and continue crushing at full capacity. If you could please turn to slide 17, I will proceed to discuss our ethanol business. In the quarter, ethanol sales volumes reached 62,000 cubic meters, representing a 4% increase over the second quarter of 2013. The increase is primarily a result of the 21% increase in sugarcane crush in the quarter and the ethanol carry strategy implemented during 2013. It resulted in high inventory volumes for sales in the first and second quarter of 2014. Furthermore, being that ethanol prices followed the seasonal downward trend since the beginning of the year, causing hydrous prices to decrease by 7.8% and anhydrous prices by 7.4% quarter over quarter, we implemented an ethanol carry strategy in May 2014, which resulted in the 66% increase of our ethanol inventory, twice the increase in sales volumes, a 10% decrease in ethanol prices in US dollar terms, which fell from $609 per cubic meter in the second quarter of 2013 to $560 per cubic meter in the present quarter, and an increase in our ethanol inventory volumes during the quarter, caused ethanol net sales to decrease by 6%. Take a look at the chart on the far right, you'll see that ethanol net sales in the second quarter of 2014 fell to 34 million compared to the 36 million in the second quarter of 2013. Let's turn to slide 18 of the presentation where I would like to discuss our energy business. I would like to stress that hydropower in Brazil generates 80% of the country's electricity. Servers tend to be depleted in the dry southern winter and later refilled in the rainy season between December and March. However, because most of southeast and midwest of Brazil is experienced below average rainfall between November 2013 and March 2014, water levels in Brazil's hydroelectric reservoirs were not able to be replenished. By having above average rain in April and May, which managed to fill up some of the reservoirs, we take a look at the graph on the top left, you will see that the reservoirs in the southeast and midwest of the country, which represent 70% of the country's water supply, remain at a 36% capacity compared to 63% of last year. With energy demands increasing, fossil fuel reserve power plants have been operating at full capacity in order to mitigate the fall in electricity supply. If you take a look at the table on the top right, you will see that lack of rainfall throughout April and May allowed energy spot prices to remain very close to the ceiling price, reaching 822.8 reais per megawatt hour, which is the maximum rate authorized by the government. In April, at 808 reais per megawatt hour in May. In June, however, after rains throughout the southern region of the country, causing water storage levels to increase 96%, spot prices were lowered to 412.7 reais per megawatt hour. Nevertheless, because 70% of the country's water supply remains below 40% capacity, we should expect prices to remain at attractive levels in the upcoming months. The graph on the bottom left shows that energy sales volume during the quarter increased by 26%, reaching 105,000 megawatt hours. The increase in the energy exported to the grid is a result of a 21% increase in our crushing capacity, which allowed us to maximize the use of our high-pressure steam boilers at our three mills, and higher efficiency and conversion ratios in our boilers. Accordingly, if you take a look at the graph in the bottom right, you can see that the increasing sales volume, together with a 42% rise in the energy prices that we captured, drove total net sales for the quarter to $13.3 million, marking a 79% increase over the second quarter of 2013. Modern and efficient high-pressure steam boilers at our three mills, coupled with the fact that 80% of our energy volume for the current year remain unhedged, and subject to current high spot prices, is expected to provide Adecoagro with high margins and profitability during the year. Please turn to slide 19, where I would like to analyze the financial performance of our sugar, ethanol, and energy business. We take a look at the graph on the top left. You can see that on an aggregate basis, net sales for the quarter decreased by 1% to $77 million. While energy net sales was significantly higher in the second quarter of 2014, on account of higher cogeneration productivity and higher prices, financial performance during the quarter was primarily offset by lower sugar and ethanol prices, and an increase in sugar and ethanol inventory. I would like to stress that despite the decrease in net sales, operational performance during the second quarter of 2014 was considerably stronger than the previous half of year. Performance was enhanced by a 6% increase in sugar in yield, favorable weather conditions, the ramp-up and consolidation of our crop in Mato Grosso do Sul, which resulted in higher milling efficiency per hour, and improved operational synergies and efficiencies, which reduced our production costs. As a result of the above, we take a look at the graph on the upper right to perceive that adjusted EBITDA in the second quarter of 2014 missed $35.6 million, 38% higher than the second quarter of 2013. Adjusted EBITDA margin also expanded, reaching 46% from 33% in the second quarter of 2013. The graph on the bottom left shows that on a cumulative basis, net sales in the first 6 months of 2013 increased by 7% compared to the first 6 months of 2013 on account of more steam crushed, our ethanol carry strategy during 2013, which resulted in higher inventory volumes for sales in the first quarter of 2014, and our ability to turn on the boiler early at the Angelica Mill to co-generate electricity and capture the highly attractive energy price. While the operational and financial performance improved year over year, the graph on the bottom right shows that adjusted EBITDA in the first 6 months of 2014 decreased by 3% to $39.4 million. The decrease was the result of a $2.4 million unrealized gain in the first 6 months of 2014 resulting from the mark-to-market of our sugar derivatives hedge position, contrasted by a $7.8 million unrealized gain in the first 6 months of 2013. Adecuado expects operational financial performance to continue growing during 2014 after harvest advances throughout the third and fourth quarter of 2014. If you turn to page 20, I would like to give you an update on the construction of the second and final phase of the Ibinema mill, which will add 3 million tons of nominal crushing capacity and consolidate our 10 million ton cluster in Mato Grosso do Sul. Construction is progressing slightly ahead of schedule and on budget regarding capital expenditure. We are currently in the process of assembling the second boiler, the ethanol distillery and the power substation, and are closely monitoring the manufacture and delivery of key equipment parts. We expect phase 2 to commence crushing activities by the start of the 2015-16 construction harvest. I would now like to move on to our financial performance. If you turn to page 22, you can see that on a consolidated basis, Adecuado recorded $72.8 million of adjusted EBITDA, marking a 76% increase over the second quarter of 2013. Adjusted EBITDA margin for the quarter was 37%, compared to 22% in the second quarter of 2013. On a consolidated basis, the first 6 months of 2014 adjusted EBITDA was $107.5 million, 52.6% higher than the first 6 months of 2013. Adjusted EBITDA margin also grew, reaching 36% in the first 6 months of 2014, as opposed to 24% in the 6 months of 2013. Lastly, I would like to ask you to please turn to page 23. To take a look at the graph on the top left, you can see that as of June 30th of 2014, the gross indebtedness was $783 million, 1% lower than the previous quarter. The farming business debt was reduced by a total of $45.6 million, or 32%, primarily using proceeds generated by our land subordination transaction. The result, outstanding debt in the farming business remained at $95.8 million. The sugar, ethanol, and energy business, outstanding debt increased by 6%. Long-term debt and short-term debt increased by $23.5 million, and $14.4 million, respectively, primarily to finance the construction of the second phase of the Ibinema mill, which is expected to be fully operational at the start of the 2015 harvest season. Cash and equivalents as of June 30th of 2014 was $199 million, 19% lower than as of March 31st of 2014. As a result of the decrease in outstanding debt and the reduction in cash, net debt during the second quarter of 2014 increased by 7% compared to the first quarter of 2014, reaching a total amount of $583 million. Take a look at the graph on the upper right. You can see that on a consolidated basis, our debt maturity profile has improved as we shifted a portion of our short-term debt into the long-term. As of June 30th of 2014, 83% of our debt is in the long term, composed mainly of loans from multilateral banks such as the BNDES, Banco do Brasil, and the Inter-American Development Bank. Finally, I would like you to direct your attention to the chart in the bottom left, which reflects our debt currency structure. We currently have 45% of our debt in dollars, 1% in Argentine pesos, and 54% in Brazilian reais. Thank you very much for your time. We are now open to questions.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touchtone phone at this or any time. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star and then 2 key. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. And the first question comes from Isabella Simonto from Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. I would like to know more of what's your view on the 2015 harvesting season, considering the more challenging scenario for grain prices, but at the same time, the expectation of a weaker peso, and also the outlook for costs for the next season. Thank you.
Hi, Isabella. This is Mariano. Sure. As you mentioned, a weaker peso is a positive thing for our business. So that is the good part of our expectation for our next crop. And then, of course, prices of commodities are more challenging. As you've seen in our report, 80% of our corn is already hedged, so has already been fixed at a much higher price than today's pricing, and more than 50% of our soybean, that are our main crops. In rice, we are not seeing that decrease in prices, so in rice, that is also an important crop, we do continue to see similar prices to what we've been having, so we don't see a reduction there. And we do see all the benefits of weaker peso, as we just discussed. And again here, the most important thing, as Charlie was mentioning, and I was always, and I was also mentioning, is the negotiations and all the discussions we are having today with our suppliers, contractors, and all that part of the chain. And within that discussion, it is not also important the agronomic part and the sustainable production model and to continue to have these operational efficiencies that year by year we continue to improve. Today, it is also important all these financial aspects of the negotiations. So today, we are focusing in examples like buying an ag input today that we are going to be paying in 270 days fixed in pesos. So that's part of the strategies we are using to reduce our general costs. So in general, I think we are feeling we are being competitive in the costs that we will be achieving for our next crops, and we feel comfortable with the hedges of our main crops.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you, and the next question comes from Ravi Jain with HSBC.
Hi, a little more on the strategy side. As you continue to sell land in Argentina, what is your plan to reallocate this capital? And my second question is, how do you see farmland prices in the next 12 to 18 months, both in Argentina and in Brazil, given the softer commodity prices that we should expect? Do you expect to buy more land in Brazil or other parts of the region? Thank you.
Hi, Ravi. Yes, sure. On the first part of your question, we are reallocating this capital of the sale of the farm, paying back dollar-denominated debt. That's most of what we've done with the capital that we are receiving from the sale of the farm. And on the second part of your question, regarding farmland prices in general, I would say that there are two main forces. The lower commodity prices make farmland in general move downward. And then a weaker peso or a weakened currency for the local currencies in the countries make the farmland, the yields of the farmland better. So that plays again, making farmland prices going higher. So in Argentina in particular, with the higher devaluation, that made prices tend to move higher because of a higher return that you are making on your farm. But regarding what we are doing, we are very specific on each particular deal. So it always depends on the returns we are expecting for each particular farm when we are negotiating for buying and selling. So today we see in most of the deals that we are negotiating, and we always have open negotiations in terms of farms all over the region, we are not reaching the prices or the expectations on the returns on investment that we are, or the IRRs that we are looking for the allocation of our capital. So will depend on every specific transaction. As you know, we are looking transactions in Brazil, Argentina, and also some other countries where we are not, where we currently are not present there, that Paraguay, Bolivia, and Colombia. So those are the countries where we are often visiting and trying to make this.
Thank you, that's helpful.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Rodrigo Cuero from Bradesco.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My question is regarding the sugar and ethanol business. We know that the company had the strategy to carry ethanol into the next quarter. And in fact, if we look at the crushing in the quarter and in the first half of the year, it increased 20% compared to a year ago. And when you look at sugar and ethanol volumes, it did not increase at the same pace. My question is, at what price premium we would expect to sell this ethanol inventory compared to the selling prices that you had during the second quarter? Thanks.
Hi, Rodrigo. I'm going to ask Marcelo Sanchez, our commercial director, to answer your question. Marcelo?
Hi, Rodrigo. Yeah, even though the speed of the pace of the crushing at the first quarter was higher compared to year on year, we still think that the crushing volume will be lower, and then the increase in the in the ethanol price is expected, and we are currently foreseeing a possible range between 100 and 150 reais per cubic meter above current levels.
That was helpful. Thank you, Marcelo. Thanks, Mariano.
Thank you.
Thank you. And again, as a reminder, please press star, then one, if you would like to ask a question. And the next question comes from Pia Safa with Tree Capital.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my question. Just wanted to know if you could please give us, again, an updated guidance in terms of your cane crushing and sugar and ethanol, volume capacity over the next, 2-3 years, given, the updates in your new Ivinema mills and other updates across the company.
Sure, Pierre. On this, on the end of this season of 2014, our nominal crushing capacity for 2014 is 7.2 million tons in total, and we feel, or we have the cane to be very close to this full capacity. So it will depend on how many rainy days or not rainy days we will end up having this 2014 year, but we feel very comfortable to reach the full crushing capacity. And for next year, we will be increasing in 3 million tons our crushing capacity. So 2015 is where we see the 11.2 million tons of crushing capacity, but we don't foresee being full crushing capacity at that time. There is why we were pointing out in the presentation that the planting is doing great, so we will be closer, but we probably won't reach full capacity. The full capacity of the 3 million, of the three additional million tons of crushing capacity will be reached in 2016. So that's our expected projection or guidance in regards to the milling, the real milling that we will be having in the future.
So you said 7.2 plus 3 is 10.2.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, heard 11.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you think you would remain, with a mix along that, 55 ethanol sugar, or, how dynamic is that mix?
Yeah, that dynamic for the 2015 year. For 2014, I see that we will continue within, more or less within the same. For 2015, we can change. 60-40 is the maximum flexibility that we can have either side. So if we see much higher prices of sugar, we will maximize sugar. If we see higher prices of ethanol, we will maximize ethanol. Today, we are maximizing ethanol according to the current prices.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Santiago Ruiz of Raymond James.
Hi, Mariano. Hi, Charlie. Thanks for the question. My question is regarding your share repurchase program. How aggressive do you expect to be in the next month regarding this?
Sorry, Rodrigo, what's the question on the share buyback?
Yes, how do you expect to be in the sense, how aggressive do you expect to be in the next month regarding the share buyback?
Ah, okay, Santiago. As we mentioned in the earnings release, we will extend the program, but will depend depending on our expected returns. We will be deciding whether to buy or not in a monthly basis.
Thank you. Thank you. And the next question comes from Thiago Duarte with BTG.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. Good morning, everybody. A question on the land transformation and the sale that you announced for the quarter. I understand that you sold a 49% minority stake in the two subsidiaries that control the farms, the farmings in Argentina. Want to clarify, why did you sell a minority stake and not the totality of the farms, and if there is a plan or any impediment for that to happen based on your land transformation strategies that we have seen in the past? Thank you. Hello?
Yes, Thiago. There is no impediment to sell 100% or 49%. This was a particular case where there was an investor willing to buy 49%, and he was willing to have us being the operator of the farm and continue farming these farms. So we thought that was an interesting deal for us, and we continue to operate that farm.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. And once more, as a reminder, please press star, then one, if you would like to ask a question. And the next question comes from Vincenzo Paranosto from Credit Suisse.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the question. My first question is on sugar price. When do you expect sugar price to recover? What's your view on sugar price for this season and for the next season? And my second question is, I'd like to understand whether you plan to publish a new land portfolio appraisal in the short term, and if so, what's the appreciation of land you are expecting to have? Thank you.
Hi, Vicente. I'm going to answer your second question, and then I'm going to pass the word to Marcelo Sanchez to answer your first question. So regarding the new land appraisal, yes, we will, during every September, Cushman & Wakefield made the independent appraisal, and that will be released in our November earnings release. So that is how we always do it, and we continue doing the same way this year. What do we expect on that evaluation? We don't know because it is an independent evaluation, but as I mentioned before, regarding prices of land in general, there are forces going in a different way, so let's see what we can see from them. And then on your first question regarding the sugar prices and what do we expect there, Marcelo, can you answer this question?
Yeah, Vicenzo, good morning. Regarding the expectation for this year for prices, as you might know, prices are really under pressure, and last trading day was they broke a very strong support at the 16 level, and then are below that level for October. We think that as the crushing in Brazil will be developing, crushing will be ending up before expectation due to the damage that the drought affected center south production, and I think that that the prices are still reacting under the lack of demand within this front month, and we could be seeing prices pressure within until November, December this year. But certainly we are expecting a recovering in prices for March, July position next year, and it's hard to say the impact on that, but certainly we see better prices for 2015.
Okay, thank you.
This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Bosch for any closing remarks.
So as you have noted, we have a year full of challenges in all of our business segments. We are determined to continue in our growth path, but at the same time be very disciplined in maintaining our low cost of production. So this is our commitment, creating value and generating attractive returns for our shareholders through the development and operation of a sustainable production model. Thank you very much for joining the call, and look forward to speaking with all of you soon.
Thank you. This thus concludes today's presentation. We now disconnect here at this time, and have a nice day.